Hi everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of the Three Lives Left podcast. It's a new thing I'm doing. It's slightly different from a podcast. We take the podcast
with afternoon tea.
Yep. We act as posh as humanly possible. I'm your host, Dan Harrison. With me, as always, is my main man, Sam Eastwood.
Hello.
Joining us once again is the dude, Kevin Cornwall.
Hello.
And we are welcoming once again the lovely lady, Nell Wood.
Hello.
So that's all of us. One of our regulars, Simon, isn't here because he's off doing something important, apparently. Not that any of us actually know what that is. Sam was told repeatedly.
He's blatantly being a hipster because he's such a hipster.
Okay. He doesn't wear glasses.
No, but he doesn't listen to his own podcast because he's in it and all this business.
No, he doesn't listen to it because he has to edit it, so he already does.
Even before that, he didn't listen to it. When I was editing it, he still didn't listen to it.
Yeah.
He's a little bit too cool for his own good. Okay, so as always, we'd like to thank all you wonderful listeners and lovers and readers and downloaders and people who pay attention to us in any way, shape or form, because we are incredibly desperate for your attention. I know I, you know, cry myself to sleep at night if I feel like any of you don't like me. Which is, you know, sad.
Is that why you got insomnia?
It is a big problem with why I don't sleep so well is because no one likes me.
Thanks.
Well,
it's
you
fine,
have
Dan.
To,
even I, we I, don't I like just, you.
Yeah, I know.
We tolerate
you. No, Dan,
you.
I don't have to like you at all.
It's a fair point.
You guys just, you know, put up with me. Let's... You know what? Not one of you really made any effort to make me feel better about myself there. It was really, really depressing, actually.
I pointed out that if I didn't like you, I could do something about it. I'm still here 3.5 years later.
Thank you, honey.
I've known him for longer.
Yeah, he has. Sam's been in my life longer than you now. He's just firmly putting his, you know, his the wedge between our relationship.
Asserting his dominance.
He is. That would be so much. Yes, if you like us, and please do like us, please. You know, say so. You can reach us on Facebook. You can reach us on Twitter at Three Lives Left. If you're downloading us on iTunes, rate us. If you're downloading us on Podomatic, rate us. We get lots and lots of listeners now, and it's fantastic, and it means a lot to us. We'd just like to know that, you know, you appreciate what you're listening to and not just downloading one and go, well, I'm never listening to this shit again. I don't even know what to say from there. That's
okay, so I'm going to take over now.
Thanks. I've gone into a bit of a fit of a gig.
So what we're going to do now, we're going to do our weekly segment of Week in Geek. So, Kevin, do you want to kick us off?
Sure. I have been playing my PS4. Yay! Next gen goodness in my face. yeah.
What have you been playing?
Assassin's Creed, Battlefield 4, and Killzone.
Yeah.
All three are.
So one actual next gen title.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I must admit, like, Battlefield 4, even though it is a multi-platform game, just is far above and beyond the current gen consoles. Must say that straight away, because it's almost like a completely different game in the way it handles, the way it looks, that sort of thing. And of course, like the larger map size and player count do make a big difference. I only got Assassin's Creed today, but I've been playing that before we started here, and it's awesome. I literally only have a PS4 because of the good graces of my girlfriend. Shout out to my girlfriend for being awesome and buying me things.
Isn't that what they're there for, really?
Yeah, they are money.
I know mine is.
I'm the bug that bought him an iPad.
Yeah, my girlfriend bought me a PS4 and a Surface Pro. That's how awesome my girlfriend is.
Wow, fuck me, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Kevin, fuck her, you know.
I do, and with gusto.
Yep. Is that weird?
Yeah.
Turn the joke into reality for me. Visions. Carry on, sorry.
Moving on. So yeah, Battlefield 4, awesome. And like Killzone is very, very pretty, but it's not very different to any of the past Killzones, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but I was hoping they might try something new, you know, maybe try and add some sort of new gameplay element into it. The only thing they added was like the you have like a little drone bot which you control through the touchpad.
You swipe.
It feels a bit tacked on. That's the only gripe I have with it. They were like, we got to make use of this somehow. So yeah, I mean, but all in all, the hardware is amazing. The pad I think is just a lot better than the Xbox pad.
In your opinion?
Okay, in my opinion, the PS4 pad is better than the Xbox pad. I have like some legitimate reasons for that. In that the triggers, the actual sort of like L2 and R2 triggers, feel a lot better than the Xbox One. A lot of people I've been speaking to who have both consoles have said that they don't like the Xbox triggers because they feel very loose. There's no resistance there. You know, it's just a very loose button. So a lot of people have told me that they prefer the PS4 pad.
Fair enough.
So is that it?
That's me. That's all I've been doing is been playing on my Surface Pro and my PS4.
Cool. Now, what have you been doing?
My Waking Geek has mostly been PC based. I've been playing a lot of multiplayer Civ with Dan and Jason and people. It's quite fun because we set up a game, but we all play with randomised leaders, so you don't actually know who you're going to be until the game starts, which is quite fun. Mm-hmm. Also went and saw Gravity at the cinema. I cannot actually praise this film enough. Mm-hmm. I'm normally one of those people who sees a film like a year after it came out and go, yeah, the hype ruined it for me. This is one of the few films where the hype is entirely justified. It is amazing. Everyone should go and see it. And I've been shooting people with Nerf guns, which is always fun. Dan's got the one of the new consoles, and we've been playing a little bit of Lego Marvel Superheroes. And on my days off, I've been storming his house and playing Black Flag because I got the Buccaneer edition.
Me too.
So a beautiful statue of Edward Kenway adorns the mantelpiece at Dan's, and it's a really fun game. I obviously we will come to this, but I love Edward's character. I think he's amazing. And
so much better than Connor.
Yeah.
Bitch fest continues.
And then
Hold it.
Next week I am going to see The Hobbit at the IMAX, which is very exciting.
Ooh.
Yay, Tolkien. That's me.
Yeah. Cool. Dan, what have you been doing?
So as Nell pointed out, I have a next gen console. Intelligently, I got an Xbox One.
Dig.
Shots fired.
carry on. If you're inferior console.
I got myself an Xbox One. I got Dead Rising. It came with FIFA, which I've played once, maybe. Yeah. Just to put myself in the game, because that was really impressive on the next gen. If you ever played any EA game where you can put yourself in the game, whenever you do it, you go, oh, look, kind of looks like me. if I was malformed. We did it on my Xbox One because my housemate did it, and he was like, no, look, seriously, look, it really does look like me. And I was like, had a look. I was like, fuck me, no, it looks like you, Chris. So we put me in, and lo and behold, it did look like me, a younger, slimmer me, because you can't make a fat for blah. You just can't. They don't exist, so it wouldn't do it, but you know, it was nice to see.
They should make that an option, though.
They really should, you know.
That would,
but still, like, have all the specs for like sprinting.
Yeah, you'd be absolutely, you know, you could have a maximum speed and all that, but you know, you look, you know, like me.
Instead of a sprint button, it'd be like a trundle button. Just, like, trundle up the pitch.
I
can you do it for Madden?
You can play one of the bigger player roles. So you can play like on the offensive line, on the defensive line, and you can have much bigger players because those ones generally can be quite, you know, large.
Yeah,
they're basically just stand there and stop you running, so they kind of need to be big.
Yeah, exactly. So I picked up Madden as well, which is really good. Again, with titles that are just being upgraded to the next gen, and what you'll notice is a graphical overhaul rather than anything else. Madden and EA and FIFA are both using their new next gen engine though, which is, according to my housemates who are big FIFA fans, the FIFA 14 on the Xbox One shits all over the previous gen version. The engine is just that much better. I've not noticed because I didn't play Madden. I waited for the next gen version. It's been a lot of fun. I can't sing the praises of Dead Rising 3 enough. I have not had this much fun killing zombies in a very long time. I thought I was over that sort of phase of video gaming where, you know, everything you do is tacked on video games. Is tacked on video game zombies somewhere. Mm. But tons of fun. The weapon combinations thing that they've taken from Dead Rising 2 is so fluid and an essential part of the game now that it and its quality and just the ridiculous. And my favorite weapon in the game is a teddy bear that you strap LMGs to called the Freedom Bear. When you create it, it gets a bandana as well from somewhere. So it's essentially a Rambo teddy bear that you place in the street, and every time a zombie walks past it, it starts firing, and it gets like 2,000 rounds. So like, I'll place these down, I'll forget about them, and I'll come back to the area later on to do something else, and I'll start getting like points for killing zombies. I'm like, I'm not doing anything, and I'll round the corner, and there's this teddy bear in the middle of all these zombies, just mowing them down, just. It's a really, really good game. And as Neil said, we picked up Lego Marvel as well. I love the Lego game so much, and this has quickly jumped to my favorite Lego game. It's just so much fun, and they've got so many, like, there's just so many characters, like, that just keep popping up, and the different abilities that characters have. So Mr. Fantastic can turn into different various Lego objects to solve puzzles, but obviously he's still made of Lego, so he'll stretch and then become like a hammer or something, but that hammer is still actually made out of Lego, so it's segmented into bricks and stuff still. It's so clever. It's just little touches like that I loved. We went and saw Gravity, which I thought was phenomenal. Other than that, I've been programming my own video game for my coursework that's due on Tuesday, which makes me want to blow my own brains out.
What's it about? What's the game?
It is a first-person shooter that after the first level, you cause an explosion so big it breaks your game and you get sucked into a top-down dungeon crawler. Quite proud of it.
I will play it.
It's like, I'll show you it once it's actually done, if it all works. All right, that's me. What about you, Sam?
What's Sam doing? I got gifted Torchlight the other day by my brother-in-law. So so I started playing some of that, and it's really, really fun. It's really cool. And I get a cat. Any game you give me a cat is freaking awesome.
You can have a cat or a wolf or a snakey thing.
I've got a cat. What if I don't want to mess and stuff? I've got a cat.
Alright.
Be sensible now. So I'm chilling out with my cat and stuff, which is really cool. I've been playing quite a bit of Smite. We all played some Smite early in the week, which is a lot of fun. So we actually recorded a bit of a Let's Play, even though my recording's failed. And Simon's having difficulties.
We have a one-sided Let's Play.
Well, no, Simon's also having difficulties with your stuff as well.
Oh, wow, what's the issue with my stuff?
It's not showing up.
Oh, he didn't say anything to me. You should have said something to me.
Well, but he's trying to get it figured out and stuff like that, so we might just have to record another one so you can actually see what I'm doing as well. Mm. But that's a lot of fun, and Dan gave me some gems, so I actually unlocked Loki. So I was running around giving everybody hugs.
It wasn't a hug, Sam. You were sticking a knife into my back.
But he hugged you first.
he launched
his ultimate. He does kind of hug you.
Yeah, because he has jumps both arms out that both have daggers, Sam.
Yeah, big hugs. He's nice and friendly.
Yeah.
which was many fun. And then I swear I did something else, but I've forgotten.
So all you've done is place my and torchlight.
Pretty much. Yeah.
All right, fair enough. What else
did I get you? You got a dive kick. Play dive kick.
Dive kick.
Which is actually a lot of fun. It's really simple. It's like the simplest game ever. It's two buttons. One makes you jump, one makes you kick.
Oh, is that that thing that they played on Rooster Teeth?
Yeah.
Yes. And what I love about it is that they're all kind of associated with like video game, either like personas or actual characters and stuff. Hmm. So like Redacted is actually Wolverine in what's it called?
Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Not 2.
3? I thought it was 2.
No, 3, because he actually does. Like, one of the moves is you do...
Dive or kick?
No. So basically, you do drill claws, where he, like, does a tornado. Mm. He, like, spins at you. You do that, and then you can cancel that into a dive kick, and then you can reset the combo. Well, you not reset it, but you can launch him again, and you can do it again into an ultra. Anyway. And then Dr. Strolls is actually...
Can I really just point out, right? Sam's had this game for less than a week, right? It has two moves, and Sam's talking about combos.
No. That's the combo in Thingy.
Okay.
Marvel vs. Capcom. That's where they get the dive kick from. Dive kick is quite iconic. And that's why you bounce so much when he hits the ground.
Good.
That's in Thingy. There's no actual... You can't really combo that much in that dive kick. And then Dr. Strolls is Dr. Doom, which is really cool. And like S-Kill is like Seth Killian, who's like within the gaming community. And then there's like the guy who's got the claw across his chest. Mm. That claw is the Urahara, Daigo Urahara kind of symbol that he uses for Mad Catz. And Mad Catz has actually signed him, and he's one of the best Street Fighter players in the world. And it's this Japanese guy who's absolutely immense, and they're all kind of like about things, and which is really cool, and it's a lot of fun, and it's very simple, and Dan got it for quite cheap anyway.
£174
There we go. So yeah, I swear I did something else, but I really can't remember. I've been watching lots of films. Watched The Wolverine, which is really cool, very enjoyable. I started watching The Heat as well, which was really cool. Despicable Me 2, which is so much fun. It's so funny. I love it so much.
Bottom.
Yes. And basically, somebody at work, and Rachel agrees that I'm actually in Despicable Me 2, because I look exactly like the little boy with the fringe.
Oh, God, yeah, we said
and
that.
And now how much it. Nell is laughing basically means that she agrees.
It's because we said that when we were watching it.
And basically,
I told Rachel this before, like as we were starting watching it, and so she said, Seb says that I look like a character from it, and he comes onto screen and he starts dancing within the first couple of seconds, do some like salsa thing, and she was cracking up. She was on the floor, she was on her side, it was ridiculous, and I was like, well, I feel manly. What else I watched The Pacific Rim, which is really cool. I love it. Even though there's so many like plot holes and stuff, the World's End, which is really cool, even though the ending was a bit meh, but overall really funny. The Internship, again, amazingly funny film.
Really?
Yeah, it's actually really, really funny. It's really good. It's an old comedy. It's the same formula. Don't expect anything to be different. There's a bit where they're both all happy, they're doing well, and then something happens and one of them gets down and out, and then they all come back together and win, and there's a douchebag and all this stuff. But it's surprisingly really funny and great. I really enjoyed it. I think it's definitely should watch it. I watched This Is the End, and I thought that was awful. I didn't like it at all. I didn't think it was funny at all. And The Great Gatsby as well, which is, again, it was good, but certain bits annoyed me when they had like modernized music in it, but it wasn't.
Yeah, you talked about that last week, didn't you?
Yeah. It just annoyed me. Still annoys me. Okay. But yeah, that's about it. That was my. Oh, and I started watching Arrow. That was the last one.
Yeah.
Started watching Arrow, which is really good as well. I would if you thought about it and you've seen it and thought, I have some of that. It's really good. It's very well made. for somebody, if you don't know anything about the Green Arrow, you can totally just go in and watch it. If you know things about DC, you'll be like, hey, look at that. But it's not kind of like you have to know about this, you have to know about that, you have to know exactly who the Green Arrow is, you need to have to know exactly who the people around him are or anything like that, because they introduce it and they give you all the information you need. The hardcore fans will know certain little things, but if you're not a hardcore fan, like Rachel's watching it and she didn't know anything about her own. She watched some of Smallville, so she knew that there was
there is someone called the Green Arrow. Yes.
But it's not, they're not
related in any way, shape, or form.
So it's its own thing.
Yes.
But it's very good, very enjoyable as well. I would totally watch it. So that brings us on to our other weekly thing, which is Nell's lovely task to try and do the news blast. And I haven't seen it, but Nell's reaction upon seeing, she said, oh my fucking God, I can't do that in a minute. So graciously, I've given her 1 minute and 1 second.
Yay.
So kind.
To do as much as you can. In 1 minute, 1 second. Are you ready now? Have you read it? Are you prepared? Mental capacity up there. Yeah? Wonderful. Ready? Go.
Game releases. Xbox One, Dead Rising 3, Rise, Forza 5, Zoo Tycoon, Killer Instinct, Need for Speed Rivals, Lego Marvel Super Heroes, PS4, Knack, Killzone Shadowfall, Tearaway, Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds, Super Mario 3D World Game... Super Mario 3D World. Game news. PS4 has sold 2.1 million machines since launch. Xbox One outsells the PS4 on Black Friday. Project Spark has gone into a closed beta. Is Fallout 4 coming? Hints on a cryptic website seem to suggest so. Steam has surpassed 7 million concurrent users. Ashes Cricket 2013 has been recalled as the game was released when it was nowhere near completion. The Skyrim modder who created a 19-hour-long content edition has been hired by Bungie. Telltale Games might be working on a Game of Thrones game. Season 2 of The Walking Dead will be out this month. Other news. Paul Walker has passed away. Gal Gadot will be Wonder Woman in Batman vs Superman. Rumours of a new Hulk movie after Avengers 2. Amazing Spider-Man 2 poster reveals 3 villains for the film.
Stop.
Oh, look at that. Bang on. That was the last thing.
That was 1 minute, 1 second. If I didn't give you that 1 second now, that 1 second, you'd have failed.
I'm eternally grateful for that 1 second.
He's so kind.
Well, I am. I knew it. Without even seeing it, I knew it. I just knew. We're good at these things. Okay, so we're going to bring us to our main topic of this evening, which is Assassin's Creed.
Woo!
We're going to talk about Assassin's Creed. But we're going to be talking about the other things, so we're going to lay it down right now that we're going to be saying a load of spoilers, and we're going to be talking about a lot of the stuff.
If you've not played Assassin's Creed 1, 2, Brotherhood, Revelations, or 3, you probably shouldn't be listening to this.
You shouldn't be listening to it, and if you haven't played any of those games, stop listening to this now and go play them. They're freaking awesome. Really fun. Play them in order. Don't just try and skip stuff. Play them in order. It makes sense.
Although, if you're struggling with Assassin's Creed 1, you're fully okay with me to skip it.
My suggestion is for Assassin's Creed 1, just read the Wikipedia page. And then go
ahead.
If you don't like it, then force yourself to play it. It is still a good game in its own right. I know because of the new stuff, it's been outshadowed. But I'd still say play it because the ending of the game is very, very good.
And I would also say don't play one on the PS whatever. PSP. Just don't.
Oh, yeah, it's a completely different game. And it's
just don't.
And it's just a bit,
play it on the Xbox. Don't make my mistake.
Yeah.
Is it different?
I don't think any of us... Yeah, it's different.
It's basically broken. It's buggy as fuck, and then they never patched it.
Yeah.
Nell had to the point of she nearly threw her remote through the TV.
I couldn't actually complete one of the challenges. You know, in one, there's a challenge to kill 60 Templar Knights.
Actually, I just read the Wikipedia page. I started playing number one. I was like, this is repetitive as fuck.
There basically, like in all the games, there is a hidden collectible, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the first one, it's flags, but it also comes along with, if you find Templars, special specific guys that are wearing a special armor, kill them all and you'll also get a trophy or slash achievement. And there are 60 of them hidden about the entire world, not just the cities, but also the open world bit between the cities.
Yeah, they'll be like around towers or in a wood. Or
some of them were actually physically broken. They wouldn't attack.
Yeah,
them.
I was in, if I could tell my story, sorry. Thank you. I was in Jerusalem. And I was standing in front of one of the town gates. There was a Templar stood there, like the Templar Knight, full armor, all that, stood. And I literally walked straight up to him and punched him in the face, and it did nothing. The game is so buggy on the PlayStation. It has its own merits, and I do obviously understand that. Subsequent games are better, but it is worth playing. Just play it on Xbox for crying out loud. All
right, so this is a good segue to talk about Assassin's Creed 1, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I personally, when it first came out and I first started watching all the trailers and everything for it, I thought it looked amazing. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Definitely. The idea of it, I think, was brilliant. Started playing it. I played it all the way to the end and I actually really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the whole game. There's nothing that, like, it is quite repetitive because basically all it is, essentially, is that there are, what, 10 targets that you have to kill?
Yes.
I want to say 10. And
10 or 11, one of them.
10 or 11. And basically, for each time you have to kill them, you have to at least pickpocket one person, eavesdrop on one person, beat up somebody else, or do something else. It might have been one of those three or something else as well. But it's essentially, you have to do at least two of those, which gives you the information to go find the person and kill them.
Yes.
If you actually wanted to do the proper experience and do it properly, what you do all the research that you can do. So eavesdrop as many times as you can and beat up as many people as you can and pickpocket as many people as you can. Mm. By doing that, if you listen to the conversations, it gives you information about the target and the area. And when you pickpocket people, you can actually look at the paper that you usually take or the letter that you usually take from the person, and that will show you a map of the area and show you where all the guards are, or it will show you the best entranceway or this and that and the other. So it allows you to have the information to go in, sneak in, kill him sneakily, and then get out. Or you can do what I did most of the time, and I'm pretty sure everybody else did most of the time, is just walk in, stab him, run away.
Hmm.
Which it's fair to say that most people would have done that.
Yeah, because it was easy for most of them.
Because it was easy as fuck. And I used to get a load of people to chase me just to kill him, because it was quite fun just killing him. It was never kind of... I never felt at any point that running away and hiding was better than just turning around and killing them.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Because, like, you were pretty badass as it is, and you can just stand there countering all the time, and you just win.
Well, I love Assassin's Creed 1. And
yeah.
The stupidest thing about Assassin's Creed 1 is how easy the combat is.
It's
you can hold one button, and the entire time you're fighting, hold one button and just tap another, instant kill.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And it's basically, if you to see where it leads into, it's kind of acceptable that that's the first one they made of that type, and they're allowed to have that kind of, like, this is the basic engine of what we want to progress to. And if you look at what Black Flag is now,
no.
If you look at Black Flag now to compare to what it is then, if you had Black Flag gameplay in Assassin's Creed 1, it would be a million times better, just because it's so much easier to play it.
Yeah, but I don't think it's okay for them to just implement a bad system and say, well, we might change it later on. Because
it wasn't in the idea of them to change it later on, but it you can't have an absolute flawless game first time around. Name one game it's absolutely flawless that you say, I wouldn't change a thing.
Bioshock.
You wouldn't change anything in Bioshock 1.
I would not
change. Even though Bioshock 1, even though it would be so much easier that the one mechanic that they put into Bioshock 2 was allowing you to have a gun out and a plasmid at the same time, which I know I didn't like Bioshock 1, like 2, because of the storyline, but that simple implementation saves you so much time. No,
but
and for a simple thing to think of.
There's a difference between improving a system and completely
that
changing it.
But if you look at the jump from Assassin's Creed 1 to 2, Yeah, listening.
The difference is nobody thought that the system from BioShock 1 was a bad system. It worked perfectly well on its own. The difference between BioShock and Assassin's Creed 1 is that it was genuinely a bad system. It was not well received. A lot of people wanted to change it because it was bad.
I thought it was absolutely fine. I'll be honest,
like, while I agree with you, Sam, and I've got no real issues with the system, my biggest complaint about Assassin's Creed 1 is its repetitiveness.
Yeah.
That's my one issue with Assassin's Creed 1. Turned most people off of the game and the series in general. I read a lot of people online when we're talking about how good Black Flag is saying, is it worth it? Because I played one and I didn't like it, I haven't played any of the others.
Whereas nobody said that about BioShock because it was a very well-implemented system. It worked quite well. Thereby, when it did come around to the second game, even though the story was crap, you know, the combat was genuinely improved because you could have both a plasmid and a gun. That was a nice improvement, but they didn't. Even if they didn't do that, you know, it would have worked perfectly well.
Annoyed that they wouldn't have changed anything, because that was one of the things that I wanted them to change. It's logical to have a
natural progression in like a system or a fighting game. You know, it's a method of improvement, but a lot of people.
You're kind of agreeing with me.
What I just want to clear up is, you realize you two are both kind of saying the same thing.
I know. You're disagreeing with me to agree with me. I'm saying that like the engine of the actual gameplay engine was good, but the simple fact that what you actually had to do within the game was extremely. It wasn't repetitive.
Good. Assassin's Creed 1, the system was not good. Even though I played it on the Xbox
version,
the free running was generally broken, and the fighting was repetitive. There was a lot that needed improving, and there was a lot that people didn't like about it. The reason people stuck around was because of the story, and the story was good, and the whole sort of like dual reality system, like in the past and in the future. That's what kept people going. But if you ask a lot of people who started playing with Assassin's Creed 1, they'll say that like I said, the free running was broken, the combat was repetitive, which is what they changed in the next game.
So let's move on to talking about 2 and the Ezio trilogy.
I know
everyone appreciates them. Nell will tell everyone gladly that Ezio is her favorite video game character of all time.
I'm a
massive fan of the Ezio trilogy. I love 2 and Brotherhood. I thought Revelations was great, but there's something about Brotherhood that sets it out as my favorite Assassin's Creed game still.
I mean, this is gone. Like just sort of like the transition between 2 and 3 is more what I would expect from like a well-polished series. Like just sort of going back to 1 for saying like going from 1 to 2, that was quite a huge jump, like quite a huge improvement. Whereas going from 2 to 3... Two to Brotherhood. Brotherhood kept all of the good parts and added some even better parts to it. You know, it refined the system, like just tweaked it a bit more, added some nice new features without sort of breaking it.
Mm. Mm. No, definitely, I get what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, what do everyone else think about 2? I mean, we were sort of
I like 2.
Mm.
Storyline in it's really good. It shows. In 1, the Creed seems is a lot more of a bigger organization. They've got
it's going
in on itself a bit. But yeah, because in Assassin's Creed 1, they essentially have a mountain in where their base is, and it's very big, and everybody kind of knows where they're coming from. Which at the same time makes it kind of stupid the fact that a white hood disguises a fucking assassin, even though it's fucking obvious.
Well, that part actually got a bit more unbelievable as the series got
on.
In the first game, you know, you were blending in with sort of scholars
monks,
and stuff
monks
like monks,
that,
scholars
yeah.
and monks, and they you generally sort of looked the same from a certain angle. But as time went on, you know, for the series,
it
blending in with whores.
Yeah.
Caught
yeah. That doesn't hey, look no, suspicious no, at all.
The whores are just distracting you.
Yeah. No, that's more like the whores are just distracting people more than anything.
Like, just sort of in general, you could hide in with yeah. that sort of crowd and sort of like the peasants and the noblemen, and you wouldn't stick out yeah. at all, even though you're sort of like got throwing knives on
a hood on
and a crossbow on your back.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a fair point.
Go for it.
What are you saying? No, go on.
I was just gonna say like two, like even though I wasn't too keen on number one, as soon like I played number two, and I very rarely sit down anymore and play a game sort of like in a few sittings. Like I normally play it in sort of drips and drabs, and it will take me months to complete. Like Assassin's Creed 2 took me just under a week because that was all I was spending my time doing. I was just like, I need to play this game. It was just sat, as soon as I came home from work, I was like, Ezio, yeah.
But yeah, number two kind of like brought in this new assassin, and it's all very small and dwindled compared to what Assassin's Creed 1 was. And it took a while for him to even get his first blade, though, which is quite cool. It wasn't
yeah, I like that.
Just hand given to you straight away. So, by the way, you're an assassin.
It's, off the story pop, there is told so much better than the story
yeah,
in 1.
It's a lot better. And it's kind of is one of the things, like in Assassin's Creed 1, you start off as this big, like the top level assassin, then you fuck up. And then they basically lower level you, but somehow you forget how to do some of the things that you already knew how to do.
Yeah, apparently just by really you being stupid. Demoted, you forget your skills.
Yeah, and it was just kind of like, really though?
This is the issue I have with Batman games as well. It's like, you're still Batman. You still know how to do these things.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that was a bit like, whatever. And but this also introduced having two of the hidden blades, which basically made Ezio so much more badass than Altair just going up to two people and just stabbing them both in the throat at the same time and walking along and having sex with their wives, which is really cool. But I really liked it. I liked the fact that you actually saw the progression when he was a teenager to
see the progression from a baby.
Oh yeah, you see him as a baby, don't you? And then you see him even when in Revelations and stuff when he's a lot older. It's like he's like 50 something in Revelations. The only thing like with Revelations that you can't see his age in his movement and stuff, even though he's supposed to be
at the beginning you do, and then all of a sudden he's fine again.
It's just like he's fine again.
There's a nod to that he's getting old and healing, isn't it? He doesn't heal as well as he used to and all this.
Yeah. but it's still he runs the same. It's like he kind of wouldn't, so it was a bit kind of like, but okay, but it was kind of like acceptable because Revelation is still good. Probably the weakest of the Ezio trilogy.
The whole sort of tower defense thing and the bomb making thing, I didn't touch at all.
Yeah, that was a bit. Yeah, but I liked, especially in Brotherhood, the having your own, having all the assassins which you sent.
So the
out,
mini game essentially of sending out your assassins,
I like that
as well.
I liked it as well, and then you eventually got like badass assassins which you can just call down and just murder.
I loved that. You level them up and then so you just cool. you start summoning them to help you fight shit. And you're like, well, I sent you 40 missions, so you should be pretty strong.
Yeah, just a rain of death.
Stand somewhere, like just behind something, and then like highlight someone and just be like, summon the assassins, and I just watch it happen. I'm not doing anything.
I think it was one point I was doing something, and then like the little thing where one of the guards spotted me, which is like, hey, you, and I just like, and his assassins appeared out of nowhere and just stabbed him in the throat. It was like, yeah, you better not notice me. And then I think I was like running away, and there was somebody like chasing after me, and I called one of the assassins, and he just like appeared out of a bundle of hay and pulled him in, which is just so much so fun.
It's just quality.
It's really good. Yeah, and it's a definitely large improvement on one, gameplay wise and storyline wise, and the fact that you actually have the multiple things. Hidden blades.
I love the story in Revelations, though.
Yeah, I think the story was a lot better than most of it. And I like the obviously whatever everything happened with Desmond and Veronica Mars, even though her name's actually Kelly, was it?
Lucy.
Lucy, that's the one. But that was in, was that in Brotherhood or Revelation?
It's in Revelations where they reveal that she's a Templar.
Yeah.
Spoiler, yeah. By the way, for those of you who didn't.
I've already said that. He killed her in Brotherhood.
Yeah, he kills her at the end of Brotherhood.
He stabs her at the end of Brotherhood, but it's then revealed in
DLC. If you play the projects,
it comes out in the DLC that she was still Templar, but he does kind of, you know, he does that sort of talking to himself bit when you're running around outside the Animus. He makes some reference to the fact that, you know, the only girl he's sort of really been able to talk to turns out to be a bitch and a Templar and all this business. So,
yeah. Was anyone else like really disappointed that quite a huge piece of information was sort of relegated to
DLC?
Quite a poor piece of DLC.
Oh, yeah. The first person puzzle solving.
Yeah, I really didn't like
Yay!
That. Yay!
I didn't play any of the DLC for any of the Assassin's Creed.
Actually, that is the poorest one. The other ones that are all story-based have actually been really good.
Yeah.
Mm. That's cool.
Yeah.
Only lots of fun for number Assassin's Creed 2 and the Ezio kind of extension, and I like that Da Vinci makes all your gadgets and doodabs and stuff, which is really cool. It's absolutely fantastic, and they do hint at the fact that he's gay.
A thousand fandoms as well.
Yeah,
the whole Ezio thing.
Yeah.
Visually, what I loved about all the Assassin's Creed was when I was playing 2, I was like, obviously you wander around in the cities and shit, and having done art history at uni and sort of specialised in Italian Renaissance art, I was just kind of bopping around like, oh my god, that's that building, oh my god, that's that building, and that's that bit of art. And it's like, I've always had a lot of respect for just how well researched everything is. Like, they reference actual pieces of art that exist somewhere, that hang somewhere, and the buildings look like the buildings they're supposed to be. It's not just some sort of like random some random building here. It's actually like there. And I think one of the best examples was in Revelations, sort of fairly near the beginning, you are chasing someone running across the roof of the Grand Bazaar in Constantinople, and I was just like, I had absolutely no idea what it looked like, and I was just running around like, yeah, okay, this is quite fun, this is happening. And I was just kind of thinking, I wonder if it's even still there and all this business. And then went and saw Skyfall at the cinema, and they run across the Grand Bazaar again, and I was like, oh my god, it actually looks like it. It's so amazing how like visually all the games have been just beautiful. Like, they're just from like 2 onwards have just been stunning, and you're just like, I could just like wander around and not even do anything. They're that cool. So, but yeah,
let's move on to Assassin's Creed 3 then, which starts off as Haytham, who's big scary man, and first thing you do is kill somebody in a theater.
Big scary British man.
Big scary British man. And then you go off to the
British
men
make
frontier.
The best bad guys.
Yeah, man. It's all the way. And then you make your way to the frontier and stuff, and you're doing a load of missions with him. And then it basically turns out that he's a Templar. Even though he's supposed to be Connor's dad.
It is a very good twist.
Yeah, it was very cool, very well done. And then you go into Connor. I've not yet played as Connor. I kind of like playing as Haytham. He's just that arrogance about him. It's just like, it's quite cool. I like it. He's a very cool guy. But yeah, I don't know if you want to talk about the actual. I don't know what the actual main mechanics for 3 is, because I haven't actually got around to playing them.
Go on, Kev.
Okay. Obviously once you stop playing as Haytham, which is a shame.
it's a big shame.
It is a big shame, because Connor is such a nothing character.
do you know what I was saying? I can't remember who I said this to, but I said to somebody, the issue I've got with Connor is obviously Ezio was such a massively popular character because everyone was like, oh, he's such a ladies' man, he's a badass, he's hilarious.
Yeah.
He's just great. Everyone loved him. And then I think with Connor, I kind of sat there and just went, they've tried to make him like Altair, that kind of very grim, very
stoic. Yeah.
And they've tried to make him like that, but it's just really not happened very well. It's not a very...
It's like they didn't try very hard at all with Connor, really.
Yeah, because you just don't... You can't... What is he about? Like, he's angry about his mum. He's angry about his people. And he's just angry. But he's also a moody bastard who doesn't want to be friends with anyone. So, yeah.
He just wasn't a very interesting character at all. He had very few redeeming qualities. I found that a lot of the supporting characters were actually a lot more interesting than him. You know, e.g. Haytham, and even some of like the American generals, that sort of thing. You know, George Washington, all of those sorts of characters, all very interesting characters. Because obviously, being English, I don't know a whole lot about American history, but you do sort of pick up, even though it's sort of like a very exaggerated take on sort of like the American Civil War. You do, the Revolutionary War, not the Civil War. You do pick up, you know, quite a lot of information about it. So that for me was like its one of its few redeeming qualities is Assassin's Creed 3. Again, they sort of tweaked the free running to sort of be more vertical and a bit more, you know, a bit more exciting.
Free flowing as well, I think. Yeah, free flowing. Way to explain it definitely.
When it worked really well. But there,
it did. Yeah.
You know, but there were some points.
It just didn't work very well.
No, it didn't work very well. So, and even though it looked very nice, like the whole sort of outback sort of area was such a chore to get through.
So, I think we'll move on to talking about the new one because we. All of us have played that and we've all really enjoyed it. Should we do that?
Yeah.
Who wants to start? Sam, you've not played much. Do you want to talk about what you've played?
I've not played much. I've played about... basically, I've only been playing at work and we've got a console set up downstairs and I've been pinching copies and playing it downstairs and stuff. I think I've played about 10% maybe. I've just got my first boat and that's...
I haven't even got that far.
Have you not? Oh, so no. I'm beating thing. Overall, it's a lot of fun. It's so much fun just to play. He's, you can kind of feel him a little bit more as an individual compared to some of the other assassins that I played as. That he feels a lot differently in his gameplay and the way that he does things feels a lot more untrained compared to the other ones. Especially like eventually with Ezio, it's everything's quite positioned, and it's when you're playing through Brotherhood and Revelations, everything's like purposeful and has like doing stuff like intentional. But there's a bit where you can be sprinting and then you can like jump on one guy, stab him in the neck, and then fall onto another guy, stab him in the neck. Which basically me and Kevin were watching at the same time, we were just like, oh my god, that was the best thing ever.
Yeah, it was a very overblown reaction, but
awesome. When I first did it, I was like amazing. But then I did it a couple more times and I looked at him doing it and it's like he's pretty much stumbling on the second guy. Like he's reaching to try and get the other guy, but it's not kind of like precisioned and aimed.
Oh, I accidentally stabbed you in the neck. I guess that kind of works out.
Yeah, that works out. Well, I was going for something else, but you know, it works.
Yeah.
And it's not like, it's very kind of sloppy.
No, he's very raw, and there's finesse. A reason for that. Yeah. And you'll get to it the more you play. Yeah.
But
not giving any spoilers away.
But. Yeah, obviously. But he's untrained. He's not an assassin. He doesn't start it as an assassin. He basically ends up in the very... This is not spoiling anything, because it's not really anything. But he gets this equipment just by picking it up.
Yeah, which actually kind of leads me into that glitch I was telling you about.
Yeah.
So you start the game, and then you... happen across this assassin's gear, but he quite clearly throws away
the
hidden blade because it's broken, it's snapped in half and it's bent.
then you have like this sort of another bit before you sort of get on the boat and go on to sort of like the proper storyline. But you can still use the hidden blade, which is supposedly broken. You can't use it on human targets, but you can use it on animals.
Oh, okay. So they didn't take it. So no. They took away the ability in combat.
Yeah.
When you,
and if I you found try that kill out an the hard animal, way.
Skin it. Yeah.
I found that out the hard way. I was like, oh, that's a pig over there. I'll just run over there and just, oh, I wasn't supposed to have that yet. It's not in my inventory. And I just stabbed, like, shoinked this fucking pig in the neck. I said, okay, let me try that again with the human. Nope, I just ran straight past him and now he's hitting me in the face with his sword and oh god, I've died.
He doesn't like me. Why doesn't he like me?
Maybe he doesn't like me because I tried to stab him.
Yeah, maybe. So yeah, there's probably that, to be fair.
Yeah.
I
and also the other thing I like that there's cats.
There's cats, yeah. Yes, there's cats in free though as well, Sam. Just so
I didn't really play free. Fuck yeah, free.
But just so you know.
They're cuter in 4.
My experience with Assassin's Creed 4 has been brilliant. I'm about 50% of the way through the game now.
Mm-hmm.
The ship-based combat is... So the piloting? Is that the right word? What would you say, piloting? Or,
sailing.
Sailing the ship, thank you. Sailing the ship in 3 is great. It works really well. It's been tightened up so well in 4, though. My issue with 3 is when you're fighting, you're not really certain where you're shooting and things like that. Now so you can target things much better than you could before. It's so much fun. There are actually times where I'm like, oh man, I have to go on an island and do stuff. I was having fun ruling the seas.
Yeah.
they've added something and got rid of something else. So obviously, as Sam pointed out, you know, you're not an assassin, particularly at the start of the game. I'm 50% of the way through the game. I'm still not an assassin. Yeah.
Wow.
Instead of sending out assassins on missions, you can claim ships as your own and put them as part of your fleet and send them out on missions.
Okay, that's cool. Earning
money and stuff like that, and that's a lot of fun. It works exactly, the system works exactly the same. However, for one small difference, trade routes can be overrun by pirates, and instead of sending the mission, you send them out on a fighting raid, yeah, to clear the pirates or to clear the pirate privateers, whoever it is trying to stopping you, and you get like this really weird mini game that is my one annoyance with it is that your ships will get damaged in this privateering thing, and then they'll have less chance to be able to successfully complete their missions and stuff like that. But you can, everything you want in an Assassin's Creed game is there. The combat's been tied up. What I love about this in particular is the storyline has been great. Edward as a main character is fascinating because you don't know a lot about him.
Yeah, you know fuck all about these guys. You have these snippets from him and his...
Yeah, yeah, you're getting flashbacks.
Him and his girlfriend or fiance or woman who just happened to be... As his wife.
He reveals later on it's his wife.
Okay, so his wife. And it's him at home basically being unhappy. He doesn't have enough money and he's trying to get more money and stuff like that. And it's showing his drive to...
He's motivated by money. So he's a really different character than everybody else. Like the beginning part of the game where you kill another assassin, you only do it because he says he'll give you a load of money. And you go, well, have you got it on you now? I'll just take it now. Yeah. The assassin is injured, and then you chase him down to kill the money that you think he's got on him. He hasn't got any.
Yeah,
that's why like Edward is such a an interesting. I think he's quite a likable character because although
he's a cheeky rogue,
he's a
cheeky chappy, isn't he?
You know, he's a bit like sort of. He's got no sort of scruples. He will kill you if he thinks that it's going to help him in that situation. But
he has no clear purpose. And the game is sort of like giving him his purpose to go.
The game is definitely setting him up for something bigger, but him as a character is just brilliant. He's just he's a cheeky scamp.
But that was the thing, like when you first play as Ezio, when he's young Ezio, you're a bit like, he's a cheeky little shit. Like
I didn't say
cheeky little shit, I'd just say cocky little dick face.
Yeah.
But then when he gets older, you're just like, oh, he's just like
wise and badass.
He's suave and he's just a badass and stuff. Yeah. But obviously with Edward, that is precisely the point. He's, you know, he's a bit cocky, he's a bit like he does what he thinks is going to help him, not what is necessarily right.
He's entirely motivated by his own.
Outfit. Yeah, which is why he's brilliant as a pirate.
Yeah.
But obviously, like he's kind of stumbled into this world of kind of that he's never known existed, And even quite early on in the game, he hears sort of people talking about things, and he kind of assumes it's worth a lot of money and decides he's going to go after it, not because he wants to particularly help either side, but because he thinks, well, if I can get that, I'll have a lot of money, and, I can do whatever I want. And
how does this help me?
Yeah, he's quite a relatable character, I think, as well. And it's just quite interesting because he's come into it completely on his own terms, whereas Altair was already an assassin. Ezio becoming an assassin was thrust upon him because of what happened to his family, and Connor,
and he had family history in it that he didn't realize.
And then Connor was sort of trained in it, but as a means of getting revenge, whereas Edward's just like, well, if it works,
latched onto.
Can't find it right now. I wanted to read it off to you guys, but I found something on Reddit a couple of weeks back, and what there is, you can find it actually if you hack all the machines in Assassin's Creed 4, which is one of those great mini games they throw into the Assassin's Creed games, like solving all the puzzles and things like that. Now you can step out of the Animus because you're just an assistant at Abstergo Industries' television program. I know, so do I. It's so subtle and well done, and it gives you a real insight into, they can basically do anything they fucking want with the series now.
Yeah.
Because they can be like, well, we've got this person and they got this.
They're making video games, aren't they?
They're making TV shows, I think. They're making video games.
It's video games they're making.
Is it?
Yeah. Because they tie it into Liberation as well. They say, oh, did you like our first title, which was Liberation?
Okay. I still thought they were talking about a TV show. Because I remember when she says that. If you hack all the machines, you can find the DNA tracking of Desmond's maternal and paternal bloodlines, and all the people that the Abstergo have noted of interest in those bloodlines, and their names and which country of origin they're from. And I'll see if I can find it and link it, but it's fantastic because you've got his like paternal bloodline, which is the one we've been playing through. So everyone on his paternal bloodline is the one we've been playing, but his maternal bloodline is just as interesting. You've got people from France and Asia on it as well. Places they've always been heavily rumored when they talk about making new games.
Yeah.
And
I wish they'd just give up the ghost and do like an Asian one, like a Japanese or Chinese.
I can't not seeing it happen. Do you know what I mean? Like, I realise that's a really stupidly vague way of saying it. I don't see it happening anytime soon. I don't see a sequel to 4 as much as I've loved it.
No.
Just because it feels like it's, and I'm assuming as well, particularly with the way they're going with that whole Abstergo industry thing, is that they'll rather not have these, like as much as everybody really enjoyed the Ezio trilogy. They'd rather have
these gonna be hard to standalone do again.
Titles. Yeah, exactly. Particularly if you've peeled off the Desmond part,
Do you think they've acknowledged that as fantastic as Ezio is, and as much as, how well received he was, you are never going to be on par with that ever again? It's just not going to happen. Like,
I don't know if there's even necessarily know if it's that, or if they've realised that the joy of trying these new worlds each time was more interesting than jumping, like... What I loved about Revelations was it was a new city and a new continent, even if it wasn't visiting something that you've visited before and it's still with the same character. It was like, yeah, something new, not just Italy again.
So one of the last things that we wanted to talk about is kind of what Dan was kind of touching on, is where we kind of see the series going, where we want to see the series going, what we'd like to see, and the progression of what could be.
So basically... The question basically, is, where do you want the next Assassin's Creed and why?
I want it in Japan. Yeah. I want fucking ninjas. They've done pirates. Let ninjas outsell them. And an idea that me and Dan had freaking ages ago was that they should have made a ninjas one and they should have made a pirates one and see which one have sold better. Right? Because essentially that will solve the age-old argument which are better between ninjas or pirates, even though the obvious answer is ninjas.
You bet.
But I want it to go into like...
feudal Japan?
Yeah, Feudal Japan Federation.
That would be really interesting. So, I mean,
it'd be absolutely amazing, and it'd be a lot of fun.
Really well was Jade Empire.
I've never played Jade Empire.
Jade Empire's a really good game. You can pick it up on Steam really cheap, and it still looks really good for.
It's one that I've heard a lot of people kind of playing and stuff.
It just lends itself to the Assassin's Creed.
It does. Sort of it definitely
franchise
does.
Very well. I can't see why they haven't done it before. They've even put a sort of Japanese chapter in there They did it in Assassin's Creed Embers. I don't know if you saw that.
Story. I've still not seen it. I want to.
Yeah, it's basically the sort of the wrap up of Ezio's life. He sort of retired in the country, and I won't spoil it for Dan, but someone from Japan sort of comes and asks him for mentorship, and the story goes from there. So it's there. It's in the universe. It's there. It's part of canon.
Potential. They just need to
just needs to be done.
The progression of this character, if he's a likable character enough, then it could always be progressed into more like they've done with Brotherhood and Revelations and stuff like that. So it'll be nice to see if there is more of a story that you need to have from Edward. It's always a question, is Edward still alive when all this stuff is going on with Connor and Hayfen?
I don't know if they ever
mention the fact that if he's even alive or if they mention it, and they can even
Hayfen ever mentioning his dad at any point.
Exactly. Well, yeah. I'm taking your word for that because I played it. Obviously.
No, I'm trying to remember. As far as I can remember, no.
So it'd be quite interesting to see who Hayfen's mother is as well. If he's actually, like, the answers to the questions that we've been saying, like, does Hayfen know who his father is? Was he actually trained as an assassin and then got pissed off by something that maybe Edward's drive for his greed and his wanting to have more money, did that annoy Hayfen and him wanting to know and have a better world instead of just more money, even though he already seems quite rich as it is? So it's
you can never have enough money. I think that's the lesson that pirates will try to teach you.
That's obviously a pirate thing.
So Kev, you agree with Sam, you'd like an Asian Japanese ninja one. About you, Nell?
There's quite a few that I would like. I'd quite like to see a Japanese one, I have to say. I think the ones I would really like to see, I guess, like, I would really like to see a Russian Revolution one, or something to do with Russia, whether it's imperial, the Stalin era, running up to the revolution, anything like that. So a Russian one. Or I think he could do something amazing and bring it to London in some period, because I think the architecture of London would A, make a beautiful game, and B, the free running would be fantastic.
Yeah, I think if you did like Victorian. Victorian.
Someone said Victorian and do like
kind
a
of
really
steam aged and.
Yeah,
kind of like that. You're just starting like the industrial kind of like
the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock.
Yeah, that
sort of era.
They're starting to get into technology, but they don't have all of it down, and they've got that kind of rustic kind of.
They've heavily hinted that they won't do anything sort of like in the sort of industrial area. Because it would make things too complicated with the whole sort of moving vehicles, moving like machines.
They've
and stuff
always
like
said
that.
They don't want to do cars, isn't it? Like that.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the difficult things that the closer that you go to a modern kind of era, that the combat system would change from hidden blades and knives as much to more gun-based combat. Because that's the way that war has progressed.
Yeah,
because it's gone from a sword to a gun. And it's obviously the difficulty of... if you have a Japanese one, if you have it too modernized to the point where America's invaded Japan and stuff, when they first kind of went on, they had all the muskets and stuff, that they completely annihilated most of the samurai because they had guns.
Yeah.
So and it's that kind of progression. One thing I would like to say, though, which I would find very interesting, if they actually did the origins of the Creed, like the first building of
believed
the first
assassin. It starts in... not like it, like not that like the first game is the beginning of it, but
it's already quite built up and it's already quite already something, but they haven't done who was the first assassin.
Yeah, I know. Okay,
that would be quite interesting,
don't you, in the basement in 2.
Yeah, and to do that, and like, is Desmond related to those people as well? I mean, he seems to be related to most of the main figureheads in the creeds, and certainly what seems to be a main figurehead in the Templars as well. That is he also related to the first assassin? Mm. If he's linked to so many people, it can't be that much of a coincidence that he would be related to the first assassin or even the first Templar. Is he related to the first Templar?
They could go way, way back on that note then, and they could do like a really cool thing with maybe like ancient Rome, ancient Egypt, ancient Greece, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like more like before. Obviously, I think when was Creed 1? It's like 300s, wasn't it?
Mm.
It was set in the 300s or something, wasn't it?
Very far back, right. Yes.
Sounds
like that. But like, as Neil was saying, like a lot further back. That obviously the mechanisms for like a hidden blade would be a lot difficult, but still, it's just cogs and wheels.
Yeah, I know. Neil stole my one because I've always said how much I'd like one set in London.
Yeah.
Just because we have a beautiful city, let's be fair.
Yeah.
Even as old as some of the buildings. We're a very old country as well, which helps. Yeah. So you can go far back in the buildings. A lot of the buildings will still be around. We've got lots of cathedrals and castles and stuff like that you could exploit. But one that came up fairly recently on Reddit, because this has been a rising topic on Reddit as well, about where their series should go next. And someone, like loads of fan art, there's so much fan art, and there's particularly fan art of what you want, Sam, of ninjas and samurais and Asian people, assassins. But my favourite one was of set in like a sort of noirish Chicago, and the guy is like, he looks like a sort of private eye. He's got the suit and he's got the hat, and his tie is bright red. It's like a bright black and white picture except for this red tie, and he's knifing someone in the back. I was like, I would love something like that. Just completely, just
as I said, that completely that'd left be wing really with cool, it. But it'll be very difficult to do because of the modernization of guns.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
If you did it early enough so that you were still in that period of time where I remember reading that the very first cars could go no faster than 5 miles an hour and had to have a man waving a red flag in front of them.
Yeah, if but that doesn't like make things very interesting. You understand?
No.
Understand. I mean, one could say that sort of a modern day Assassin's Creed is something like Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
A very similar sort of system, you know. So, yeah, you know, like the ties are there to be made.
Yeah, I get that, yeah.
I think with in the whole, because obviously there is that temptation to go like really modern, there are some brilliant things you could do sort of like in various government administrations and sort of shenanigans that way. But I think with the whole car thing, I do think it's you'd have to put a lot of thought into it beforehand. Like, how do you factor in cars? Like, can you just jump over them? Can you sit on them? What can you do? Like,
yeah, I mean, the risk that you have with cars as well, it starts being a bit GTA and Saints Row, that you not only will there be cars, that there will be an obviously at some point you having to interact with a car. If a car is just there, obviously you're saying like, can you jump on it and stuff?
Can you drive it?
Can you blow it up? It sets off so many streams, which is probably why Kevin said, like, he doesn't think that there's going to be cars inputted, because it's so many different things that you have. Just one object is so many possibilities.
I mean, just as a counterpoint to that, though, I suppose we just think of a car as a thing, as an ownable product. But I suppose in Brotherhood or in the Ezio games, you know, you could just jump on a random horse. And it's a bit like, in a way, although obviously cars go much faster than horses, there is that kind of thing of, but stealing a horse in sort of Ezio's time would be like nicking someone's car. It wasn't particularly easy to get another one. And like, you could put like all your stuff on that going off to market and what have you.
Mm.
So although I do understand what you're saying, there is that thing of, can you steal a car? Can you drive a car? Do you just run round them, jump over them, blah, 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 blah. I do think that obviously, although it's a lot less complex because you're talking about an animal, not a thing, like, there is that kind of link to horses as well, in just from a historical standpoint more than a game standpoint. But
yeah. I mean, like, you could always do it in a point of like when they were introducing cars, to the amount of cars which are actually available were like 5, and they were only the richest because it wasn't the thing, like nobody could afford them type of thing. There would only be a handful around, and that still the main form of transport would be horses.
Mm.
It wouldn't be too bad. But
yeah, no, you can definitely do some interesting things.
Yeah,
and that's the great thing about Assassin's Creed is
it's got so much expansion, and they would be very interesting as well if they went back to Adam and Eve, because that was a civilization.
Mm.
Would they ever? Because they seem to be
there's that whole thing with that pre-civilization thing in that game.
Pre-civilization thing, like to see the downfall, what happened, see how. Everything corrupted and changed into what we have now. Would they do, because everybody would be in a descendant from them. Mm. So have they gone that far back? I mean, obviously 16 knew that was a thing. Yeah. Obviously having these memories, and you'd be able to have these memories that you got from 16.
Mm.
Could you then trace your DNA back all the way that way as well, which would be very interesting. They obviously got the new film coming out, and they're saying 2015, aren't they?
Yes.
Which assassin are they basing it on? Is it a new assassin?
All we know at the moment is that Desmond is in it, and it's Michael Fassbender is playing Desmond.
That's all we know.
Yeah, and he's also producing the film.
You've got. Okay.
Calm down now.
So potentially just from that you've got a lot of potential there as well.
Mm.
Desmond, as we said, seems to be related to every single main figurehead of the assassins, so that doesn't mean that he's not going to be about Ezio, or it could be about Altair or Connor or
if Edward. They've any sense, they'll do it about Ezio. That'll make them money.
If they had any sense, they'd do them about all of them.
Yeah.
Because this will be the main opportunity for you to actually have the main. I mean, what they're going to be basing? Is it going to be about the apple, or is it going to be about another artifact, or is it? Because we already know about the apple, or about the other artifacts, of which we don't have as much information about.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll leave it there, because we're obviously passionate about the series and excited for where it'll go. Who knows where? I think is the biggest thing. I hope we're surprised, and I hope I'm wrong. That they, you know, well, I hope I'm right in saying that they won't do a sequel to 4. You're not going to be back on a pirate ship, I hope. As much as I love it, I'd just love to see it go elsewhere now. Mm. So, anybody else got anything they want to say?
Ninjas are awesome.
Ezio is king of the assassins.
Kev, nothing you wanna jab in at the end there?
No.
All right, good.
No, I'm fine.
Really long, though. Right, everybody say bye.
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 Oh, well done, Kev. Really?